Some people may think that maybe I am extreme in my titling or even tagging Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I asked the question, why is the resurrection such an important part of our Christian faith? The culture has changed the meaning. It is amazing how the culture can creep in to something as sacred as our faith and change the meaning of something that is so significant to the believer's life that it can cause us to get caught up into the currents of our culture, where we fall for the same trick as the world. The world don't want us to believe that Jesus did rise from the dead. But I asked the question, why is it so important? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, no one can claim that they were born of a virgin by the Spirit. No one can really claim that they can open blind eyes and cause the lame to walk and open up deaf ears and walk on water. Now, there are some counterfeits out there. There are some counterfeits that probably do the same thing, like when the children of Israel was in Egypt and they were trying to get out of Egypt, and Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, let my people go. And all of the signs and all of the miracles that he performed by way of God, the Egyptian magicians did the same thing. The one thing I want to tell you this morning, the difference is, even with all of the counterfeits, no one can actually say that they raised from the dead, that they rise from the dead. And I want to say this to you this morning because I want you to know something, that if Christ be not risen, this Jesus that we so talk about, that is the unique miracle behind Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know who you're following, but I hope you're following the risen Savior. The resurrection gives us proof, hallelujah, that we have a Savior that's really alive. Paul, lest I stay too long here, Paul is getting with this church. This is chapter 15, amen, of this book of the First Corinthians. And what we find is that Paul is dealing with a church that had gotten caught up in a social gospel, a gospel of prosperity, a gospel of positivity, a gospel without the resurrection. They may have had the cross, but no resurrection. And even though that they knew Christ, even though they heard the gospel, even though Paul started this church started to move away from the truth. Saints, can I tell you something? You can get to a point in your Christian life where you leave the basics behind. And I'm talking about simple things like prayer, simple things like praise, believing in the resurrection. Why would they have a problem with the resurrection? They exchanged the resurrection for Easter. This church who had sound doctrine is now believing a lie. Saints, it's easy to walk away from the truth if you're not grounded and rooted in the truth. Listen, your Christian life, our Christian life, is not always going to be what we want it to be. We're going to struggle sometimes. We're going to go through some ups and downs, but The one thing I want to say to you today is this. There's one thing that will hold you when nothing else can hold you, and that's Jesus Christ. See, we can follow the wrong Jesus. You see, the world is trying to paint us a picture, but I thank God for Paul. Paul says in verse 1, he says, "Now I make known to you, brethren," see this, "the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you what? Stand." What am I saying? I'm saying this, that we have to stand on the gospel. We have to stand on the word of God and stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ that you have received when you got saved. Paul presents the facts in verse 2. He says, "By which also you are saved." You see that? Present participle, it is in the aorist tense, simply means not only were you saved, but you continue to be saved. Do I have anybody? He says, "But by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the what? The word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." Oh, I wish I had somebody. He says, you received the gospel by faith, but this gospel that you preach, that I preach to you, watch this, is what's keeping you. Come on, help me, somebody. Can I tell you something? Jesus saves, the gospel saves too. Because the gospel is Jesus. It is the good news of his life. Oh, I wish I had somebody. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And you skip down to verse 10. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, and his grace towards me did not prove vain." If you ever look at this passage, he talks about this word vain. That word vain means empty, empty-handed, something that is foolish, something that has nothing in it, but it's just a substance with no purpose. Come on, help me, somebody. Paul says, "But by God's grace, I am." He says, "What I am. And his grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than them all, than all of them." Who is the them? Good question. Glad you asked. I'm going to answer it. You ready? False teachers had crept into the church and was saying to these believers, "You don't need to talk about the cross. You don't need to talk about the blood. You don't need to talk about the resurrection. Listen, you don't need that. Look at Paul. Look at how he look. He's not really an apostle. Look at him. He's just this guy that just talking about stuff that you don't need to believe anymore." And lo and behold, they started to believe that mess. Can I ask you a question? What is your faith resting on? What is your foundation? And if it's not Jesus Christ and him risen, then that's the reason why our lives may be falling apart. Some of us say we know Jesus, but do you know the risen Jesus? Do I have anybody? And if you go to verse 12, he says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you," how did they get that? This was a gifted church. Can you see it? Can you see what I'm talking about? Can you see it with your mind's eyes? Can you see it with your heart's eyes? What I'm trying to say, saints, the world does not want us to talk about the risen Jesus. They do not want us to believe this story. And this is why for over 2,000 years, we've been preaching the same message. And this is how people live. This is how lives are changed. This is how lives are transformed. It's not transformed by positive thinking. It's not transformed by wishing things into existence. No, it is by living for Jesus Christ. Believing the message. not straying away from the truth. Do I have anybody? And so he says, if Christ be not risen, number one, verse 13, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Imagine that message got through and crept into the church so deep that people started to believe that he didn't raise from the dead, that he was still in the grave. How does a lie spread so easily to people, watch this, who came to know God through Jesus Christ? They had spiritual gifts. They had success. See, success can mess you up if you're not careful. But watch this. So if Christ be not dead, number one, we would have absolutely no hope. All right? Because if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, can I ask you a question today? Do you have any hope today? I know life gets tough, but what gives you hope? Here's what should give you hope. The fact that you know that Jesus is on your side. The fact that you know he died, he was buried, he rose, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I thank God this morning that because he has risen, I have hope today. But if he not be risen, we have no what? We have absolutely no hope. You have no hope for tomorrow. You have no hope for next week. You have no hope for right now. And some of us, we walk around with our heads hung low like life is just so messed up. But tell your neighbor, I got hope because he has risen. Look what Paul says. He says here, oh, hallelujah to his holy name. He says, verse 14, he says, and if Christ be not raised, then number two, our what? Our preaching. Can I help somebody with something? Here's how your life changes. You ready? Ready? Let me break some news to you. Ready? Preaching. I'm going to say it one more time. It's what? Preaching. When you come here to church, come for the preaching. Because it is through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that your life holds together. Stay away from preaching as a Christian for a long time, and you and I will start drying up, because this is our lifeline. This is how we're sustained. Do I have anybody? And so, number two, if Christ be not risen, we would be here for a motivational speech and not a life-changing word. And that's what you find in most pulpits today. They're coming for a motivational speech, a pick-me-upper. Amen. They're looking for the gospel on caffeine. Come on, help me, somebody. Make me feel good today. But the moment I get out in that car, the moment I head on to work, the moment I go back to wherever I left, guess what? He says, if Christ be not preached, if Christ be not raised, our preaching is in vain. I don't know what you came for this morning. Hallelujah to his holy name. But I hope you came to hear preaching. I hope you came to hear the proclamation of God's word. But he says, if Christ be not risen, preachers are not necessary. Come on and help me, somebody. Anybody could do this. Come on and help me. Last week you saw a bunch of preachers up here. Not everybody could do it. Not everybody could stand. But thank God those men were able to stand and proclaim the word of God. Are you with me? He says, preaching that's empty does not change lives. Preaching that does not have the cross and the resurrection in it is in vain. Are you with me? Preaching that changes lives has authority. Preaching that changes lives has power. Preaching that changes lives transforms lives. Do I have anybody? Now here's a clue. If your preaching is not backed by the resurrection, why are we here today? And so our preaching is backed by the power of the resurrection. Write that down somewhere. So the next time you don't want to come to Bible study, the next time you don't want to come on Sunday morning, I want you to know that you are doing yourself a disservice if you do not come every week to get the preaching. Do I have anybody? If Christ be not risen. Verse 14, he says what? Next, he says what? Your faith. Imagine that. Is what? So not only is the preaching in vain, he says your faith is in vain. Number three, if Christ be not risen, we would have a faith that has no power. And can I tell you something? It means this word, when it says it be empty or it be in vain, it means something that's unaccompanied or something that lacks spirit and power. Whoa, hold on, man. Are you telling me my faith has power? Your faith has the power if it's backed by what? The resurrection. To take you to places that you've never been before. As a matter of fact, if your faith is backed by resurrection power, you will have the strength to get up and do the things you don't want to do. To go to places you don't want to. Do the hard things in life, the things that you desire to do, the faith that you have, if Christ be not risen. Verse 15, he says, moreover, thank you, Jesus. He says, moreover, we are even found to be what? False witnesses of God. If Christ did not raise from the dead, we would be testifying against God. It says here in verse 16, and if the dead are not raised, not even what? And so he says we'd be found as what? False what? And so the next point. There it is. All this stuff I've been doing up here for 19 years. Is a lie. It's amazing how many of you have the truth, but you're still believing a lie. It's amazing how so many of us, watch this, we come here every week, we get the truth, but we're still drawn to a lie. Can I tell you something? If Christ be not risen, your belief and what I'm doing up here, man, I could be doing something else. But thanks be to God that I know why I stand here every week. I know why I'm so committed. I know why I'm gonna keep going no matter what. Come on and help me, somebody. And you and I ought to be glad that when Jesus rose from the dead, he knew who he's gonna call. And guess what? He's gonna call some of you to do great things. But I want you to know something. When your life is backed by resurrection power, you can do things that you've never done before. But I thank God that he didn't make me a liar. I thank God that the grave is empty. I thank God that I was living for me, but the resurrection Savior saved me so that I can serve you. Aren't you glad this morning that the resurrection power will find you where you are and transform you and clean you up and bring you into the house of God, then God will call you to do something greater than you've ever done in your life. I'm so glad today that Jesus rose from the dead, because every now and then it gets a little discouraging standing here every week, not seeing what I want to see, but it's resurrection power that keeps me. It's resurrection power that guides me. It's resurrection power, hallelujah, that causes me not to change the story. Do I have anybody? There's a lot of people changing the story because they're not seeing what they want to see. But I'm glad that Jesus is a witness to what we do here every week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Text says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is what? Worthless. So next thing we find, if Christ be not risen, we would have a faith that doesn't work. That word worthless means fruitless, aimless. Watch this. Building a house on sand. Saints, we got evidence at this church. Oh, man. We have evidence in this church that our faith is real. Wishing but never seeing. That's what that word means. I may have some bad days, but I can bounce back because of my faith. I may have some weary days, but I can get up in spite of. I thank God that Jesus did rise from the dead. I thank God that Paul is trying to get this church to see that if Christ, verse 17, has not been raised, your faith is on sinking sand. But he says, but you are still in your sins. Next thing I want to tell you, if Christ be not raised, we would still be lost and in our sins. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Not only will we not have hope, but we would be miserable. We would be plain fools. We would be living a lie. All of the prophecies would be false. But I thank God that that's not the case. I thank God that I'm no longer in my sin. I'm not sinless, but I sin less. I thank God I can recognize when enough is enough. Because when I was in the world, I had no boundaries. I was living my life the way I wanted to live it. But I thank God that Jesus came to wash me clean. His sins that he took upon himself was my sins. I thank God that by his stripes we're healed. I thank God that Christ did raise from the dead. I want to tell you, saints, just like this church was going astray, we have a tendency at times to forget why we're here. We're here only by the grace of God. And the reason we can sit under the word of God, the reason we can raise our hands, the reason we can say hallelujah, the reason we can shout is because we know what we know. Do I have anybody here that know that you know that you know? That you know that you know. Let me turn it up a little bit. Know that you know that you know. That you know. That you're no longer a sinner. But you're a sinner saved by grace. Oh, amazing grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. When I was lost, couldn't see my way, Jesus paid the price. He saved my soul. He took me from the muck and the mire. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on a solid ground. And I'm glad today I don't have original sin. I don't have the sin I used to have. I thank God that I'm right with him. And every now and then, when I fall, he says I will not go head first, because God will hold me up with his righteous right hands. I'm glad this morning that on resurrection morning, I'm glad that I can ask him, Father, I exercise my rights. Here's my rights. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Anybody need a cleansing this morning of all unrighteousness? The reason I can do that, because Christ did raise. The text says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. I thank God that if Christ be not risen, we would not have eternal life. But I thank God we do have eternal life. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I got something to look forward to. I got something to look forward to. One day, no matter what, come what may. Yeah, I may suffer in this body, but one day when I close my eyes, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we will see our resurrection Savior. Aren't you glad that we got the facts? Here are the facts. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. Notice the word, fall asleep. When you leave, you don't die. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Aren't you glad that when you leave here, one day you'll lay right here, but you won't be dead. You will be much alive with Jesus Christ. And the resurrection guarantees you eternal life. Come on and praise him today. Come on and give him thanks for the resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 Christ's death is substitution, redemption, propitiation, forgiveness, justification. His resurrection means we have a powerful gospel. We have problems, but we got preaching. We got problems, but we got praise. We got problems, but we got prayer. We have a faith that will not fail us. We have salvation. We have an intercession. We have redemption. We have vindication. And we have a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is this Jesus? Hallelujah. In chemistry, he turned water into wine. In biology, he was born without normal conception. In physics, he defied gravity. In economics, he took five loaves and two fish and he fed 5,000. In medicine, he cured the sick. In history, he's the beginning and the end. In government, he's the wonderful counselor. In religion, he said no one comes to the Father but through him. Who is he? He's Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived, the resurrected man. Do you know him? Have you tried him? Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Do you love him today? Do you love him today? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, the resurrected Savior. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he rose on the third day? Without the resurrection, I want you to always remember this. There's a clue in that passage. Preaching and your faith goes together. Listen to me. You need preaching. If you don't get enough preaching, you get weak. That's why you got to listen again and again and again and again and again. And you're taking all these nice, cute notes and drawing hearts and stuff around your notes. But here's the thing. You got to go back and read it and apply it to your life. If Christ be not risen, that's the story. Story is this. You are living in that resurrection. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Oh, it is no longer I who live, but what? But Christ who what? Lives in me. And the life I now live, I live what? In him. So, don't fall for it. I work hard to make sure, honestly, that you are protected from another gospel. Some of us, we give in to the gospel of pity. The gospel of woe is me. Come on now. TikTok gospel. Oh, they be killing me. They got this thing going on about April 8th. Come on now. Come on now. The Bible clearly says no one knows the day, nor the hour, nor the second that Jesus will come back. And why did Jesus do that? So that you have a chance today, perhaps today, you'll get it right. I thank God for giving me enough time to get it back right. And with that thought in my mind, like, man, he may come back today. So you sitting here trying to connect one dot number to the next number. He didn't say use the number to try to predict the word. I'm listening to this guy. I'm saying, what is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this book? And you know where they're getting all this information from? The book of Enoch. A non-canonical book. Didn't even make it in. Didn't make the cut. So you know there's always someone trying to be like someone. And so you have these false teachers today who are grabbing stuff, reaching for stuff, trying to connect something through numbers. Trying to say that the Hebrew, Paleon Hebrew at that. Well, we didn't pass Paleon Hebrew a long time ago. Trying to connect the dots saying, oh, well, Christ, it's X is for Christ. Pay attention. Because there's a gospel out here that's being preached. And you can get caught up in it. It doesn't have to come in the name of Christ. It could come by the way of opportunity. And whatever opportunity you think you're getting, if it pulls you away from Christ, that's a gospel. Matter of fact, now you're being discipled. You're in a room with a bunch of people who got energy, but they ain't got no gospel. You bring a group of people in the room and you put music, dim the lights, and guess what you have? Euphoria. Some call it a party. But this book has every detail for your life. Gotta read it.